Welcome back to the pod, Sources from the Sofa, everybody. This is Rome. We have got Jason and Aaron. We have not had Jason for a college pod in a few weeks. So welcome back to the college section, Jason. We're recording Wednesday night. It's a late night, late nighter, but we got Aaron's games of the week, games to watch. Before we do that, we're going to recap week five in college football. Some headlines to kind of highlight what happened is Florida State getting upset by Virginia. Aaron did kind of mention in the last pod, but Vegas was all over it because they were on upset alert. So was Notre Dame, which I didn't understand why they were upset alert. A lot of people had Washington upsetting Ohio State. No one was picking Penn State to do much and losing once again to a top 10 team. Ole Miss, who has let me down many times already in the past few seasons because I'm a Lane Kiffin fan, they came up big. I feel like they could have scored more points on the LSU, who's a very highly touted defense, but Ole Miss just looked bigger, better, and I'm liking them to compete in the long run here in this college football playoff. What else happened here? Besides Penn State just coming up short, they were getting their ass beat for three quarters, came back in the fourth, made it look like a game. They almost had a chance to tie it, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. And then we also have...
Well, I went to double overtime, right?
Double overtime, that's right. That's right, my bad. So double overtime.
But they were down 17-3, so yeah, they did rally back in the fourth.
BYU-Colorado, that was a tough pick. Colorado rallied back for that one as well. Then Alabama-Georgia. Alabama has rebounded big time from getting beat by Florida State. Florida State gets upset this week, but Alabama is looking like a legitimate top 10 team. Who would have thought Kellen DeBoer is not getting kicked out of Alabama just yet? Seems like his team is fighting pretty well. So we're just trying to see some, we're kind of starting to see the separation of the pack yet, but still I have a lot of questions of who's good and who's not. I still don't know for a handful of teams, and there's a lot of teams that I don't recognize in the top 25. Aaron, what's your biggest takeaways from week five?
Well, it's great to have Jason back on the pod. You know, he kind of disappeared after Notre Dame got off to an 0-2 start. But, you know, magically, they look good in the last two games. And here he is joining us in week five. So I'm glad to have him here. You know, that's part of our games of the week. So I want to get his take on that Boise State-Notre Dame contest coming up.
Ooh.
But, Rome, you mentioned a lot going on there in week five college football. I mean, I guess, you know, I didn't listen to the pod. I wasn't on the pod Sunday. That's not yet been released, but Sam Pittman being fired by Arkansas. We mentioned, I said going into that game, the seat was warm.
Yeah,
you did. Bad loss to Notre Dame would probably lead to his exit. He's gone. Coming into this week, we got another SEC coach on the hot seat. We'll get into it. Billy Napier at Florida.
Wow.
If he has a similar fate like Sam Pittman did with Florida, getting blown out by Texas, I think he'll be shown the door this weekend.
You calling it?
If they get blown out and get beat bad, yeah, I think he's on his way out. I think Jason would agree with that as well, given what's been going on there. That's, you know, you can't go 1-4 at Florida and be what they were, top 25, top 15 team before South Florida upset them early in the year.
Right.
You know, we go back to Friday, Florida State, Rome. I told you I did not feel good about that game. I had some worries coming in. We were on the over. We did hit the over in that game. Did not
hell
get
over
a side.
Yeah.
But Arizona State, we had that in the football contest. Unfortunately, that was a push for us. We should have gotten the win on that. I mean, how many opportunities did they have inside the red zone there, Jason, to kind of take that game over? It's crazy they didn't cover that one.
I've had both of our pushes this year.
Yeah, you've had both the pushes. So I guess I'll quit nodding for the podcast and just, you know, welcome back, Aaron. Notre Dame didn't have anything to do with me being away, you know, but, you know, I guess the sources were saying something to Aaron. But I was very high on Notre Dame coming into this week, and I felt maybe a little too confident that they're going to blow that Arkansas team out. Just Texas A&M. Even though they did lose that game, what I saw from Notre Dame's offense was something I hadn't really seen before. It seemed to that Texas A&M. I was like, if they could put this many points up against Texas A&M, I think they really can do a number on Arkansas. And that's just the feel I had the entire time going into that game, where I felt like, man, I don't think they're giving Notre Dame enough respect for that -4 line. I kept rethinking myself. I was like, man, it just seems like Notre Dame can go and like beat this team by a couple touchdowns. And they overall did. The Arizona State game, yeah. Yeah, that one, man, that's it was a Friday night I'll be honest, I was at the airport watching that one. And, you know, you're just, you know, you get a weird airport vibe game, you know, just waiting for this departure, flights delayed a little bit. You know, it's on a weird TV at the airport. You don't have enough time going on. And, you know, you're like, man, like Arizona State, why are they not winning this? All, you know, all the opportunities. And then the kind of the comebacks there and everything, like, okay, we might be able to cover this one. And then, you know, it just pushes. So yeah, Rome, throughout the college football season, you do have our two pushes. So you're nailing the spread, I guess, at that point in the games you're picking. So
yeah. Yeah, Arizona, man, they like, all right, to like explain how weird this game was, they had 207 rushing yards to TCU's 10 rushing yards for that game. Like, what the hell?
Weren't they down 17-0 at one point? Or was it 14-0? I thought it was 17-0. I could be wrong, but it was at least 14-0 at one time.
It was 17-0. I think in the second quarter, I think I was like sweating. I'm like, dude, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I broke down that game, Rome, I said, I just don't think TCU can run the ball against these guys because they're a pass-heavy team, and Arizona State at home's got a pretty good defense. They should be able to control the clock, which they did for basically 2.5 quarters after they woke up. The student body got there a little late because I guess of the monsoons and thunderstorms going on in that area. Oh, really? So, you know, a little late to late start by Arizona State. Eventually got it together. Then they had first and goal. We're kind of playing the clock. And then they were going to go for it on fourth and goal inside the one, get a stupid false start after the quarterback sneaks it in, and then they kick the field goal. We get the push. But, you know, it's how it goes, I guess, sometimes. I mean, a push is better than a loss, so I guess we'll take it. It's a half a point in the contest.
I mean, we're just looking at those. I think it was the fourth quarter where they turned it over on downs on like a longer drive. Then, you know, they get TCU to punt, and then they missed a field goal. Like following,
he missed
that.
Two kicks, right? He missed two kicks in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
He missed one in the first half, but I think the second half was the really killer one that you were kind of looking at. But yeah, you're right. They're down 17-0. It just felt like, hey, they're the better team the whole time. They should be pulling away from them, but like it just was, nothing was ever kind of clicking. And but they finally got the win at the end, but just not enough for us with the 3 points.
Yeah, what sucks is the contest. Obviously, these lines come out Wednesday, so they're locked in. But I think I was seeing some places, you know, 2.5 was the final close line, which would have been nice if that's what it would have been for us. But
that's the bad part about this contest, because the Wednesday lines, like, they're kind of screwing you, because there's like a lot more favorite lines that come out by Friday night. And it's just like, dude, like, how can they adjust it?
It can work both ways. I mean, let's not be mistaken. I mean, you can get on a side where a line drops or goes up. It just, you know, it depends. Definitely depends. I mean, speaking of Notre Dame, like Jason said, I don't know why that line was dropping. I think it came out like at 6, dropped to 4. I love Notre Dame. They were part of my big picks. I picked them on a part of this. Jason wasn't here for that one, but I was all on them. You know, like I said, Rome, I think Sam Pittman was in trouble if he got beat bad. He did.
I wasn't expecting to score that much. 56.
I wasn't expecting to pin it on Arkansas that bad, but Arkansas after two really, really gut-wrenching losses to Ole Miss and then Memphis, games that they could have won, should have won the Memphis one. Usually when you start losing games like that and you're kind of a mediocre program team, it kind of goes downhill. And Arkansas with Bobby Petrino taking over, right? So it's interesting that he gets another gig at a head coaching job in college.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the podcast, but I don't think there's not many more infamous photos in college football history than the Bobby Petrino post motorcycle accident press conference look with the, you know, he's got the whole neck brace, looks like his face is all sunburnt red, but I think that was like the asphalt or, you know, whatever happened to him. I mean, it's just one of the all-time things. And now, like, hey, he just winds up as head coach again at Arkansas.
You know, we just, you know, Jason wasn't on the pod. We got rid of one of the great all-time press conference coaches, Mike Gundy, and now we're bringing Bobby Petrino. So we just replaced him, you know. We just went from 1A to 1B, so here we go.
1A to 1B.
Well, you know, I mean, he's still a man, but I think he's like 50 instead of 40 now. But, you know.
Hey, he might be 50, but the program's not paying $50 million to get that NIL deals, and it's out he goes.
It's wild to me. I mean, thinking about Oklahoma State, because they had some of like the biggest boosters, because they had like what, T-Boone Pickens or whatever. It was just fun in that thing.
The name of the stadium is that Pickens Stadium or whatever.
So it's crazy. I mean, they had like the billionaire, you know, oil man, like funding this thing, like Phil Knight does for Nike with Oregon, and just how bad this team has got over the past decade is kind of wild.
Well, it seems like the oil guys have gone to Texas Tech, and you know, Oklahoma State. I mean, basically, Mike Gundy called it out, what, 2-3 weeks ago, we mentioned, where he said, look, Oregon's got a $40, $45 million roster. I got $7 million. He basically put Oklahoma State on blast.
And then they
got beat 69-3, and he was basically justified. And it's crazy to think that, you know, 18 winning seasons out of, what, 21? This was the 21st. And
so good.
Shown the door. So we wish you well, Mike Gundy.
What have you done for me lately? I guess that's the motto. Let's talk about USC Illinois, though. I had Illinois. I was up on Illinois. Thought they would rebound from the ass beating they got the week before. I don't think they're that bad. USC, me and you, Aaron, we were talking about how we weren't sure how good they are. A lot of people were up on USC. Jason loved USC, had them in the contest. And Illinois showed out as well. I think the score is a little bit closer than what it was, at least until the fourth quarter, or am I mistaken?
Well, Illinois was up most of the game, of them, right?
Yeah, Illinois was up most of the game. USC, you know, did, you know, kind of mount the comeback in the fourth quarter, made a big push for it. They were up really at the very end of the game, because the field goal for for Illinois won the game, because
41 yarder.
Yeah, so I remember where I was at that point, because I was hoping for the block taken back
for a return
for a touchdown at that point. So that's why I was like clicking back to me what was for the game. But yeah, I mean, just early on for USC, like, it just, you know, wasn't clicking what they wanted, you know, offensively. I think this was for me a game for a USC offense that has a lot of talent, you know, maybe didn't have everything they had defensively, but for an Illinois team that the week prior kind of got, you know, ran up all by Indiana, I was like, man, I don't know if they can go against a USC offense, that, you know, historic Pac-12 offense, that, you know, usually pretty good quarterback play, great skill players. Did kind of go against, as I was watching the pregame show for this, I was like, man, you got the West Coast team coming to Central Time Zone for like a 10 a.m. kickoff or whatever the heck it was. It felt like it was
9 a.m.
Yeah,
for USC. Yeah.
It was, because it was wild. It's just, I was like, man, this game's on already when I was flipping. So yeah, it was a super, super early kickoff, and that kind of played into it. I think that at that moment, Rome, you know, we talked about this Sunday, Rome was questioning me when I picked it, and I was like, I felt really good about it. But then I'm watching the pregame, I was like, I don't know, this goes against the West to East Coast kind of always thing. And I think it looked it early down, early in the game, it looked at it entirely, because, you know, Illinois was up, and they got a big, you know, in really in the third quarter when they took a 30, they were up 24-17, and then went up first thing in the fourth quarter, up 31-17. And then I was like, okay, this is kind of over. USC came back. But ultimately wasn't going to be able to cover. So I think USC is still pretty good. You know, I don't know if we've talked about enough of them, you know, what Lincoln Riley can generally get out of quarterback play. Obviously hasn't, you know, we're a year post removed from Caleb Williams. I think there's a crazy stat where he's got like 7 quarterbacks starting games in the NFL this weekend.
You got Jackson Dart, weekend. Caleb.
Jackson Dart did start at USC, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Spencer Radler.
Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Hurts. Oh, from Oklahoma.
Baker, right? Baker was there for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's 5.
Okay. That is crazy.
So it's one thing, you know, Lincoln Riley always does well, and then USC's obviously got that, you know, the wealth of skill talent around Southern California. So, but yeah, I mean, we talked about that Sunday, Rome. I think you were right on that. You know, Illinois is a good team, man. They've gotten something going on there. But overall, when it comes to their schedule, like I was saying, like, hey, they're probably, you know, they're an 8-10 win team. You know, we're probably looking at it. I think there's still some losses on the calendar, but I think this was a really big win for Illinois, and probably the spread was a little bit too big, you know, for a 9 a.m. kickoff in Champaign.
besides the Arizona State game, I was watching the G-Tech, Georgia Tech against Wake Forest.
Wake Forest gave that game away. Like, what are they doing, pretty... throwing the ball on third and five? Even though that guy was offsides. I mean, that guy was blatantly offsides. But
Georgia Tech is so lucky to come out with that win, but I like them, though, so really happy about that one. Texas A&M and Auburn, that was pretty close as well.
The score's a lot closer in the game. I mean, Auburn did cover the 6.5 for us. I had Auburn in the contest plus 6, so I got a push there. I got two pushes this week because I was on Arizona State as well.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, to Jason's point, I mean, Texas A&M basically held Auburn to 3 points. I mean, there was almost like a pick six. Auburn got like a first and goal, got a touchdown kind of for a late cover there. But yeah, I mean, they dropped, what, 40 on A&M. What did they drop? 52, 59 on Arkansas, whatever it was. We'll get into the games of the week. They're playing Boise State this week. But yeah, I mean, Auburn has offensive struggles. We saw it against Oklahoma. I think they've given up the last two games 16 combined sacks if you add in the A&M and Oklahoma game. So Auburn's got a lot of problems on offense. Really good defense, but offensively they are challenged. That's for sure.
Texas A&M, though, you start looking at a little bit of their schedule that I was looking for. Like, I mean, I think last year's Notre Dame game, like, people were expecting a little more for them, and then they obviously kind of surged toward middle of the season, right up until the end, but they fell off a little bit. But, you know, the Notre Dame win, I think, was pretty big for them because, you know, they went beat Auburn. Now they got kind of a slew of SEC schools that they should beat. Mississippi State, I don't think is a an automatic win, but I mean, it's still an unranked team right now that they should win. Then against a Florida team, with what you guys are talking about, that could potentially fire their head coach. Then Arkansas right after that, who did fire their head coach. And so they basically got three very winnable games up until they go to at LSU, which is probably maybe the toughest game on their schedule. So you got only three ranked teams that they play left, with LSU, Missouri, and then Texas at the very end of the year. So you're looking at a Texas A&M team that, you know, potentially, if you look at the schedule, if they take care of business in a lot of these games and they show up in these, in the couple big time primetime games they have, you know, it's a team that could compete for the SEC potentially, depending where it's at. You know, Rome's shaking his head. I'm just saying, like,
Rome's an A&M hater, man.
I know he's a hater, but you go into that last that. You go into that last game versus Texas. I mean, you could be talking about, hey, that's a play-in game to the college football playoff between Texas and Texas A&M right now.
I don't want to talk about Texas right now. I don't know whether they're good or not, and I'm not ready to talk about
that. I like that. I like that play-in method because I thought we were almost there last year when Texas won at A&M and Kyle Phillips the play-in game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, going back to what Jason said, I mean, they've got three winnable games here: Mississippi State, Florida at home, Arkansas.
Then they have three tough games after that. That's a tough stretch too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, LSU at Missouri. Missouri's underrated. Missouri's not a bad football team.
They're offensively, really good, dude. That's
offensively, they're really,
there.
Really good. That's gonna be a tough game. South Carolina, up and down, but
they've been hit or miss
game.
This year.
Everybody from the SEC always throws in that FBS school, Samford. You know, you got to get the cupcake before you play Texas. You know, that's going to be a big game. So, I mean, I like where A&M's at. I mean, even if they lose two games, don't get to an SEC title game, the probability of them getting in the top 12, I think, is still high, given the fact if Notre Dame keeps winning, it only helps A&M's cause.
Let's wrap up this recap a little bit. Who had the bigger win? Is it Ole Miss over LSU, Alabama over Georgia, Oregon staying alive and beating and holding off Penn State in the final seconds to keep Penn State winless against top 10 teams?
I'll go somebody first. Else. I'm going to go Alabama. I mean, Oregon's win's impressive, but look, it's Franklin. He does not win. Let's just be honest. He just does not win the big games.
James Franklin. Yeah.
You know, don't, he does not win the games.
John Frank is a guy that Roman would have called him, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even pronounce the guy's name right because he can't even win the big game. So he's not even worth pronouncing his first name. But yes, James Franklin, what is he, 4-21 against top 10 opponents now?
Something like that. Yeah.
And like his wins are like Boise State and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Boise State. Yeah. So for me, it's Alabama. You go in there, Rome, you mentioned they got whipped. I mean, they got manhandled week one against Florida State. Bounce back against a cupcake team, then blow out a Wisconsin team that's having it down year in the Big Ten. But going and end a 33-game home win streak of Kirby Smart in Georgia, that's an impressive win. I wasn't sure they could do it. They looked good. They were in control that home game. It was not a fluke if you watched it. Their quarterback, Ty Simpson, I think he's an NFL quarterback.
He looks really good. He looks really good.
You give him time in the pocket, and with the playmakers they got, this is a dangerous team as far as the pass game. They do got some holes there. They can't run the ball. Their defense gives up a lot of rushing yards. Both the Florida State and Georgia got over 200 yards rushing, so Alabama has some issues there. They've got a big game coming up with Vanderbilt, but for me personally, I'm going to say Alabama's the biggest win, but yeah, Ole Miss and, as you mentioned, Oregon's wins are impressive.
I thought it was a really big win for Alabama. Georgia, they kind of were on the ropes against Tennessee, but now when you look at the rest of the schedule, they got Ole Miss coming up. Auburn may or may not. It is in Auburn. That could be pretty tough. Missouri State or Mississippi State afterwards. They got Texas coming in. They got a gimme with Charlotte, but then they have Georgia Tech, which should be a really fun one to end the year. This could be another 2-3 losses coming up in their schedule. It's going to be tough, man. I'm really kind of curious how they kind of pan out.
Yeah, for me, I would go Ole Miss. Just looking at the history of kind of where Lane Kiffin has elevated the Ole Miss program. But they've always been a kind of couple losses away. We're like, you think they're going to take that next step. I know last year we were kind of out of, they just missed out on the college football playoff. You know, they were kind of one of those SEC teams with the outside looking in. I think this is a pretty big resume win for them. They beat the number 4 ranked team. Many people thought LSU was the best team in the SEC through these first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And I think knocking them off, and we talked about Sunday, Rome, the biggest thing, man, Lane Kiffin beat his daughter's boyfriend's team or whatever was the storyline going into this game. You know, I think Lane said take the over on Twitter, though. I don't know if they hit the over. I'd have to check out.
No, they didn't get that.
So, no one wanted to score. I think Ole Miss was about to score on 2 touchdowns. I think it was a turnover, what, in the end zone and like a fumble within like the 5-yard line, something like that.
It's tough to score against LSU, man. It really is. But, you know, it's interesting, guys, because, you know, I was in Vegas. You know, they were talking about James Franklin and Penn State. You know, who would be a possible good replacement for him? And the name Lane Kiffin popped up. You know, if Penn State was to move on with Lane Kiffin,
I can't see
would he be a good hire? Because, who really could take over that program? I mean, given where they're at right now.
He doesn't look like a Penn State guy.
It's just crazy to me to even talk like that. I get the James Franklin talk about hasn't won the big game and all, but like, where was Penn State for like the last like 25, 30 years? Like, you're holding on to when Penn State was
Paterno.
Great. Yeah, great.
What, yeah, but the, that was in bad the 80, towards the end.
The late 80s, early 90s. Like, I mean, Penn State was not this like national juggernaut like everyone thinks they were. They're thinking of a different time. You know, the same way Alabama thought they were like, you know, Alabama from the 60s and 70s.
Alabama was trash for 30 years, yeah.
Right. And so, like, Penn State, like, James Franklin has brought this program back to a relevance in there. Now, he hasn't won, you know, the biggest games when they needed to, okay. But there's going to be time for him to do that. But those are those things where, like, fan bases want to be happier than happy. I mean, you're the number
three. It is Happy Valley. It is Happy Valley.
It is, but you're the number.
Whiteout.
You're basically the number 3 team in the Big Ten after Michigan and Ohio State, and then it's Penn State at this point. Like, you're not even having USC outshine you for the most part since they've joined the conference. I mean, maybe we're talking Oregon can break through, but I mean, you're still talking about from a Midwest brand, you know, you are at that echelon. So what's one of these head coaches going to get more out of a Penn State team? Like, those are the questions. Cause I think you look ahead to them. They pretty much got one game coming up that I would say that's like, hey, this is a statement game. They got to play Ohio State. They beat Ohio State. Everyone else is talking to. They lose to Ohio State.
Is that at Ohio State?
It is at Ohio State. So they lose at Ohio State. People are going to be talking about that, but then he can still win out and go 10-2 or whatever, and they're going to be in the playoffs still. So
I think, if we look at Penn State, I think that's the thing. Like, they are a 10 win team. They're a playoff team. But are they anything beyond that? And as Jason, you mentioned, they feel like they, I mean, I think we both, maybe all three of us picked them to win the national title this year. And honestly, I didn't feel comfortable doing it just because of James Franklin's history there. I mean, they're paying they basically took Jim Knowles from Ohio State, paid him $3 million to be their defensive coordinator. Their defense was fine, but their offense was just terrible for three quarters. They got 3 points against an Oregon team that, you know, is kind of in a rebuild. I mean, we kind of talked about it. Dante Moore looked like the better quarterback in this game. You got Joe Aller supposed to be, what, a first-round draft pick. I think Penn State has a ton of issues. I agree. Like, where do they go if they move off James Franklin? Because they were a 7-8 win team at best. Now they're constantly 10-11 games, and they just can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. But unfortunately for them, that's, you know, who they're going to end up either playing in a playoff or playing in a Big Ten game. I don't know. Penn State, to me, what do you do? They were nobody for 30 years. Joe Pa in the 90s, 80s was great.
It wasn't 30
years,
man. It was more like a 10-year gap. They weren't good, but they were pretty decent even in like the late.
They were bad, and then they hired Bill O'Brien, and he got them okay. And then he took the job with the Texans, and then James Franklin came from Vanderbilt. James Franklin could coach. Like, he was the last guy to win at Vanderbilt. So
yeah, I don't know if we had Penn State winning the championship. I think I picked them at least like they should be winning the championship because they're bringing a lot of guys back, and now's the time with like all the other teams in their division, quote unquote, being down with the turnover. But with this loss, though, do you got them beating Ohio State? They have Indiana coming in. We'll see how they look in, you know, early
I think
November.
Indiana's better than them, too.
Nebraska has their best offense in years. They actually look pretty dominant. They're a pretty strong team. And then they finish off with Rutgers. Like, you're looking at it might be, what, maybe two or three more losses?
Sorry, I was doing some research because Rome disagreed with us. So the last time Penn State won the national championship.
I wasn't saying that.
Okay. Well, I'll say that. Last time they won the national championship, 1986.
That's the year I was born. And you were born too, Rome.
Yeah. So I was one. So I'll just put that on there. But to Rome's point, though, Joe Pa in 2009, his third to last season, they were 11-2. So he had back-to-back 11-win seasons in 08 and 09. Yeah. Then they went 7-6, 9-4.
Well, that's when the scandal broke, right? And then the kind of program took a...
Yeah. Grandpa Joe ignored a lot of the touching from the other coach. Yeah.
So Bill O'Brien had 8-4, 7-5 teams after they lost basically everyone after the scandal. James Franklin comes in, has a pair of 7-6 seasons, then gets to him 11 wins and has back-to-back 11 seasons. So the most disappointing season was the COVID year. They went 4-5, and then they've kind of bounced back the last 3 years. So,
I mean, disappointing year for everybody.
Right. So, but I mean, if you look at the air, like the 90s with Joe Pa, like, hey, they were like a 9-10 win team. Then in 2000, 2001, they're a 5-win team, you know, 3-win team in 03, 4-win team in 04. Then they kind of pop back into it. So, like I'm saying, it wasn't always smooth sailing for such a legacy team and a brand. Yeah. So, you're talking about a guy for James Franklin that, hey, he's last 3 years, he's won 10 plus games and got the program to a level that has this recruit coming. So if he's put him in the playoff every year, I mean, it's a lot of questions, except for just to replace a guy at a certain point.
Yeah.
Because the Big Ten's not easy. This isn't the Big Ten of like 10 years ago. Like the Big Ten's hard.
The Big Ten is hard.
It could be the SEC is going to argue that they're the hardest conference out there, but the Big Ten's got a ton of great teams too. And there's more teams and there's some cupcakes in there, but like the Big Ten has a lot of top tier programs. And now
the Big Ten is legit deep. I mean, we'll get on. The only team in the Big Ten that's really been consistent, because Michigan's had some down years, is really Ohio State. Ohio State really, really has been consistent for 25, 30 years. Michigan, after Carr left, had some down years. Penn State is mentioned there.
You know what? So, that's the funny part. I used to be a big Jim Tressel guy, so I root for Ohio State for a big period of time.
And he constantly won 10, 11, 12 games and was giving out free tattoos. So, hey, what are you going to do?
All right. Any more comments from Week 5 before we head to your games of the week, Aaron?
I think we covered everything, Rome. I mean...
Oh, by the way, we never talked about like the whole court issue that affected about 24 players in the NCAA regarding whether they can continue playing on their like 6th and 7th year of eligibility. Obviously, they won that because Pavia and Anderbilt are still playing.
Yeah. So I'm glad they won.
Yeah. All right. Jason?
No, I was going to say, I guess we still got like 3-4 years of eligibility left for the three of us, too, you know, so we get out there and...
Dude, I wish I could, but I just...
Rome's out.
Yeah, Rome's out.
Rome's taking a medical red shirt.
The knees shot for Rome. Dude, I think we saw that.
I would be in and out of, like, the IR, man. It just sucks. It just sucks. I didn't even do anything. Tripped over a mat. Go figure. All right, we'll take a group break and we come back. Aaron's games to watch, games of the week. All right, it is time for Aaron's college football games of the week. How did you do last week, Aaron, with the picks and the locks you gave us? Because I did keep track. I just don't have it in front
of me. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, last week I gave you 13 games plus a bonus, which was your UCLA team, which did cover.
I do have it. Because you had three locks. You had the ASU and TCU.
Oh, the locks. The locks were, which, yeah, that was a push.
The USC and Illinois,
yeah, well,
which did hit.
Yeah, Jason wasn't here for that one.
The opposite. And then Penn State, Oregon. I don't know what you had on that one, actually. You had Penn State minus 3.5?
Yeah, I think I had Penn State in that one.
Ah, that was a close one, but that was tough.
I think I had Ole Miss in there as well, but I could be wrong.
You had Ole Miss minus 1.5.
Yeah.
You had that as game of the week.
Okay. That makes a little sense. I remember. So last week's games went 7 wins, 6 losses, 1 push.
Whew.
So it was a winning week. I mean, we started out really hot, kind of cooled down with, Penn State and Georgia shit in the bed there late.
You did
night.
Call the Pittsburgh upset, though, huh?
Pittsburgh came back and lost that game. They fucking gave that game away, dude. They were up 17-0 in the first quarter.
That's right, dude.
I'm not even going to go into that coach. That coach, speaking of coaches that need to get shit canned, that guy.
Oh, do you remember what your bonus game of the week was?
UCLA, man.
Yeah, how'd that go?
They covered, like I said. They were down 17-0, but came back and lost 17-14.
Yeah, I was watching the game, man. I was watching it. It was brutal.
UCLA plus 6, man. Covered.
They're playing Penn State this week in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it's... I'm not touching that one.
I'm thinking about taking my daughter to a Cal game this weekend on Saturday. Tickets in the end zone, like 10 rows up, $35.
I think it's going to be a good game, Rome. That's going to be a bonus. I think it's going to be a bonus play. I'm just, hold out for that one.
Should I take her to a college game? I don't know how college games are. I haven't been to one, obviously, since UCLA, since the sell out the Rose Bowl. Because now it's different. So
What year was that?
It was just like, this is like 6 years ago, most recently. That's why it's like, it blows my mind that like it's so dire right now. It's like, what? I was just there.
Roma's talking about going to, Nebraska, UCLA. I told them, dude, you don't need to buy a ticket. Just walk
let's
in.
Go, guys. Let's go. The whole pod. I'll do a last minute ditch effort to try to get some media passes or something.
We don't need media passes. We just walk in. They'll let you walk into the Rose Bowl. Yeah. Got it. They'd say like it's open seating, first come first serve, where you can go. I think they just give the tickets away. Rob. I think you just go in.
Yeah,
and say,
I think you can just print your own media pass and you're in. Yeah. You can say whatever label you want, and hey, we're happy to have you here and covering the game.
I think, Rome, I can't pull it off, but I think you can get like the old kind of schoolboy hat with a little media, like cardboard thing on the slit on the side, where it says like media just on the top. You could probably get one of those and go through. They'd be all right with it. You know what I'm talking about? Old school, like 1920s reporter or something?
No, yeah. Man.
Exactly.
I'm here at the UCLA football game, huh?
100%. Wait, at what point is UCLA going to be considered to be relegation out of the Big Ten at this point, man? You got, you're 0-4. You've only scored 57 points the entire season.
Dude, this has been pretty embarrassing. Wow. But like USC fans are not too far behind because they were ragging on the team on social this past week. Like, we traded this. Like, UCLA and USC just ripped apart the Pac-12 to just have these fucking seasons, these seasons of mediocrity. Like, either the Pac-12 was really bad, or it's just a down year for everyone that used to be in the Pac-12.
Well, no, because Oregon came in and it was just fine, bro. So,
Oregon's the only consistent one. Oregon's the only one that's like...
Oregon's been good in the Pac-12 for a while. I mean, they're the only team to represent the Pac-12 in the playoff, right? The college football playoff.
Just not winning, yeah. All right.
Shit, since USC last made it there against Texas, is that the last time another team outside of Oregon was in the playoff from the Pac-12?
Sounds about
20
right.
years?
Well, no, Washington.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, they got blown out. Yeah. All right, Aaron.
Washington did it twice, so yeah.
So this is your smallest list. You can see the imprint from last week where we had a season high 13 games.
Yeah, I didn't put a lot of games on there, Rome. So maybe I got more than one bonus game this week. Maybe.
Okay, cool. Maybe. And there's these are all Saturday games, no Friday games?
Correct. The Friday games.
So this is the first time this year that we are not featuring a Friday game.
A lot of garbage on Friday. Yeah, I was gonna say you got New Mexico State, San Jose State, Colorado State, San Diego State. It's like the Mountain West special. Or the American Football Conference too, but
yeah, I guess the old Mountain West, soon to be Pac-12, right, or whatever these guys are going.
The new Pac-12, yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of bad games on Friday night, Rome. I mean, I don't care to watch any of them, so I'm not gonna put the audience through it.
All right, well, take it away then. These are Aaron's 8 games to watch this weekend, starting off with Iowa State against Cincinnati. Take it away, Aaron.
Rome, I know you love Iowa State. It might be one of your picks, but I'm hoping to change your opinion on that because I like Cincinnati here. I watched them last week against Kansas, who I had in the contest for us.
Right.
And they looked really, really good. I mean, I watched that game. Kansas is a solid football team, played Missouri tough. Cincinnati's only loss was a 3-point defeat to Nebraska, the opening game of the year. Iowa State's undefeated. Going on the road here, I like Cincinnati. Their quarterback and their offense is really explosive. Iowa State struggles to score the ball. I think Cincinnati wins this game. That's why they're a slight favorite. I like Cincinnati to cover here.
Is that how you spell Cincinnati?
You could double check, triple check. I hope.
Wrong. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I was actually looking at that when he sent in the spreads for the Westgate Super Contest, and I haven't seen anything of Cincinnati yet this year, so I don't know whether to pick it or not.
I've been impressed with them. I watched a little bit of the opener against Nebraska, and I watched a lot of the game last week against Kansas. I don't know what Kansas was doing defensively. Just terrible, terrible defensive game plan really cost us there.
Yeah.
But I was impressed by Cincinnati, so they'll probably be part of my own personal 7 this week in my own Westgate. So I like Cincinnati here to cover the 1.5 at home and get the victory.
Wow. Okay. Next game.
Virginia +7 against Louisville. Virginia, Rome, coming off the huge, huge upset win at home against Florida State last Friday. Louisville coming off a come from behind victory at Pittsburgh. They were down 17-0 in that first quarter. Pittsburgh's coach, with his decision making, kind of gave that game away, plus turnovers. I think they had 2 turnovers, 3 errors in the special teams. It's amazing Pittsburgh didn't win that game. Damn shame, I'll tell you that. Virginia, not a very good team defensively, good offensively. Louisville, kind of up and down offensively, what they can do. Kind of surprised to see Virginia getting 7 points here.
That's a lot.
Seems like a lot. I'm going to ride with them. If you don't get pressure on the quarterback, they're a tough team to stop. I mean, Florida State did not get a lot of pressure on the QB. He had a nice game running the ball and throwing the ball. If Louisville doesn't get pressure on them, Virginia can score. I think they have the one of the top 5-10 offenses in college football together, averaging almost 40 points a game, over 40 to be exact. I like Virginia +7 here.
Wow, Virginia's number 24. I thought Louisville would be ranked.
Louisville's got to be ranked, right?
No.
No.
Are you sure?
They should be. I think they're actually pretty decent.
They haven't beat anyone. They've beaten Eastern Kentucky, James Madison, Bowling Green, and then Pitt was their biggest victory. So
no love. So if Louisville's not in the top 25.
They beat Virginia, they will be ranked.
Yeah. I actually think if Cincinnati pulls it off, that's a pretty decent upset over Iowa State. Iowa State's number 14 in the country right now.
I think Cincinnati wins that game and probably sneaks into the polls next week at 23-24.
Okay, cool. So Virginia takes care of business against Louisville, which you were up on the
covers. At least covers.
Okay. Next game.
I think this is one of the more interesting games of the week. I'd like to get your guys' take on it. Texas, 7-point favorite going into Florida. We mentioned in the first segment, Billy Napier on the hot seat. Both teams coming in with a bye week. I'm putting Texas on upset alert. I think Billy Napier is going to throw everything he's got into this game. His job is on the line. This is a must win for him. He calls the plays. He's offensive coordinator. This is a really, really good defense. I think it's going to be a low scoring, grinded out game. I like Florida to cover the 7 points. And I'm tempted to take Florida to win outright. I mean, it's as crazy as it sounds. I haven't been impressed with Texas. I mean, I know they beat Sam Houston State, but come on. I mean, even we could beat Sam Houston State, guys. We could put together a group of 50 guys that could beat those dudes. I think Florida's going to get up for this game because I would like to get you guys' take. I think Billy Napier knows this is winner or go home for him, really. I mean, it is winner, pack your bags and get out of Gainesville because this is a must win or at least keep it very, very competitive to save his job, given what we're seeing in the college football landscape.
I agree with you, Aaron. I don't know if you go full upset alert, but I think it's more competitive. And I don't know if Texas has shown enough offensively when they've played. I mean, I guess their only one real test so far this year was Ohio State. But I think there's a ton more questions on Arch Manning and what he's able to do. Florida does have, like, athletes. They got guys, and I think there's never been a question of recruiting with them, but they've always just seemed to be missing some portion of it. I do think Florida gets up. I would take Florida with the points too. I don't think they upset them, but I think the game's closer than what Texas is getting.
This is fucking crazy talk here. So like Florida, I don't think their losses have been too crazy, right? They beat out a nobody in week one. They lost a close one against South Florida, but they were ranked very shortly. That was a really good game. They lost a good game against LSU, and people were talking shit on LSU, like how they should have won more, or they didn't do enough, or Florida had a chance to still pull that out of their ass. And then they play a really tough Miami team, which, you know, people were taking the spread on that one too. It's just been a tough schedule so far. I know they're 1-3, but that's a tough 1-3.
It only gets tougher. They might have the toughest schedule in college football.
It's a tough one.
I mean, they're going to have Texas A&M after this. 2 weeks they get Georgia. They end in Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State. Like, you know, Texas doesn't get this type of schedule in the SEC.
I mean, Florida's schedule is brutal. I mean, that South Florida loss was tough. You mentioned Rome. They played LSU tough. 5 turnovers was the difference there. Miami, they were down 13-7 midway through the third quarter. Like Jason said, they've got athletes. They've got dogs. They just haven't executed at a high level. I think coming off the bye week helps them execute a little bit better. I like them here +7. And, you know, Gainesville is just another place. I mean, Texas has not really traveled anywhere in the SEC to play anybody outside of Kyle Field last year at Texas A&M. 100,000 screaming fans. This can be a tough game for Texas and Arch Manning.
I know I like Texas, but I don't even know how good Texas is yet. This is a stay away from me. I would not touch this with a 10-foot pole.
This feels a lot. I think Jason said this feels a lot like USC Illinois, where it's like, you know, one team's feeling good, the other team's looking like not so good. I think Florida gets up for this game.
I don't think either team's feeling good. I don't think either team's feeling good.
I think if you're Florida, you get a bye week and you don't lose a game, you're feeling good to me, the way they've been going.
Cool. Next game.
Next game, the game of the year in the ACC, no doubt about it. This is the game right here, Miami, Florida State. Miami coming off a bye week. Rome, you mentioned they've coming off big wins against Notre Dame already this year. South Florida, they've blown them out. I mean, Miami's blown out everybody, really, except for Notre Dame, which they were up with 2 scores there. Florida State beat Alabama, took it to them in week one, played 2 cupcakes in the next 2 games, lost a tough one at Virginia. I like Florida State to cover here. I'm going to say this. I think Miami wins a 1 or 2 point game. Florida State covers. So I like the Seminoles here. +4.5. I'll say the final score is 28-27. Lean towards Miami slightly winning this game. Florida State's definitely going to cover this one. Maybe just wins it outright as well.
Okay.
Another big game here, Rome. Vanderbilt. Yeah. I saw your boy from Vanderbilt, Pavia, said, hey, if we play our game, it won't even be close. So he's already given bulletin board material to Alabama after upsetting him last year. Oh, man, 10.5 points is a lot here. Vanderbilt's not a bad football team, but I don't know if they can stop Alabama. I'm not sure if Alabama can stop them either. I mean, the over 55 and a half looks pretty good. I like over 55 and a half. I think what Poppy has said about, you know, we play our game, this won't be close. I think Alabama's going to get up for this game. I'm going to take Alabama 10 and a half here. I like
your really?
Take on this. Yeah, I think that, you know, bulletin board material, Alabama's, they got this game circled. It's not every year you hear Alabama got Vanderbilt circled on their schedule.
Isn't Vanderbilt better than last year, though?
I do think they are, yes. I think Alabama's better, too, though, right now.
They look good. The last few weeks have turned my opinion around on them. But 10 and a half, though, this feels more like a touchdown, maybe a field goal type of game. You think it's just an ass whip and a return?
I don't think it's an ass whip, but I think it's going to be a close game. So that's what's scaring it off to me, where, like, I do think Alabama wins the game. But, again, 10 and a half points is quite a lot of bit for a Vanderbilt team that, you know, they can score. They can get up and down the field. And, you know, for Alabama, like, you know, they've kept most of these, like, opponents, like, you know, pretty low scoring. And obviously, it was a good Georgia team, but that Florida State team kind of got up and down with them. To me, it's a close game, and I think 10 points is just too much.
Yeah, I mean, 10 and a half. I mean, Vanderbilt, what, their biggest wins? What, South Carolina this year? Alabama's really battle-tested. I just feel like Vanderbilt's going to turn the ball over a few times. I like Alabama here in a high-scoring game, 44-27. I think it's a high-scoring game. I feel real comfortable in the over 55.5. 44-27. I think Alabama can score. Vanderbilt, you guys mentioned, could score. I think the difference is Vanderbilt just turns the ball over a couple times more, leading to quick scores for Alabama. I'm going to take Alabama 10.5 here.
Okay. All right. Next.
Texas Tech against Houston. Houston coming off overtime win Friday against an 0-5 Oregon State team. Texas Tech coming off a bye week after beating Jason's West Coast Utah Utes. I like Texas Tech minus 11. I think they're the real deal. That defense is legit. They got even the backup quarterback's really good. And Houston, to me, hasn't really played anybody. Their biggest wins of the year are really against Oregon State, 0-5, and Colorado, that's what, 2-3. I like Texas Tech here minus 11 to get the job done against Houston.
All right.
Big game here. I'm curious to see what Jason likes on the side before I really get on it. I'm kind of split here, but you got Boise State, a 20.5 point underdog going into South Bend to take on Notre Dame. Jason, who you got covering the spread here? Because this is a lot of points, 20.5 against a Boise State team that's regrouped from that week one loss against South Florida.
Yeah, I knew you were going to come to me on this one, Aaron. I don't have any sort of feeling like I did a week ago against Arkansas, because if you would ask me in week one, I'm like, man, Notre Dame's really going to put a two of this Boise State team that couldn't get more than 7 points or whatever in that first tilt. It's just too many for a Notre Dame defense that is clearly not as good as it was last year. And I don't know if it's just, you know, if it's Al Golden. Obviously, you lost guys to the NFL like Xavier Watts and other people on that Notre Dame defense, but every team, for the most part, has been able to get up and down on this Notre Dame defense, where a year ago, I would have said that was detrimental to Notre Dame's chances, because the defense is what kept them in a ton of those games with, you know, just waiting for Riley Leonard to run around. I think that's just too many points. I would probably take, I think Notre Dame wins the game, but I would take Boise State 20.5 if you're telling me to play it.
So if you guys are looking at these games, Boise has not done much against the only really good team that they played was South Florida. Other than that, though.
Yeah, they haven't. I just feel like if this was last year's Notre Dame defense, I would be much more confident with this year's Notre Dame offense to cover that spread.
Yeah.
But they have been exposed to, you know, many teams so far. Like, even early in that Arkansas game, it was never really close. But, I mean, they were getting the ball up and down. Texas A&M went up and down. Miami obviously did, too. I think there's just too big of a window for this to be, hey, Notre Dame wins by 14 or something like that, where it's there, like 20.5 just seems like a ton of points they'd have to overcome in this game to me.
I agree. I lean towards Boise State here covering the 20.5, too. I think regardless if Notre Dame jumps up 21, 28 points, I think Boise State can score. Boise State can get 20 points in this game. I feel like Notre Dame probably gets 37. So I'm leaning towards a 37-20 Notre Dame victory here. I would take the 20.5. This defense has given up points. So that's in Boise State. Has Rome, you said they scored 7 against South Florida. South Florida has a good defense. They played against some bad teams, but I think they've built some confidence offensively. They're averaging, what, almost nearly 50 points here, it looks like, in the last three games. I feel like they can get 20 points against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame basically gets 35-40. In order for Notre Dame really to cover a game like this, they can't turn the ball over, and they have to force turnovers. They got to play nearly perfect. I mean, 3 touchdowns is a lot against a Boise State team that was considered, as of the group of 5, top team preseason for the playoff. After that loss to South Florida, that kind of diminished. But
yeah,
Boise State's got some talent. They've been in some big games. They performed well against big-time opponents before. I'll say Notre Dame wins here, like I said, 37-20. I'll take 20.5 points of Boise State.
37-20. All right. Your last game of the week.
Last game, Rome, is Mississippi State against Texas A&M. I know you're a Texas A&M hater, Rome, maybe because I like them and you like Texas. I don't know. Maybe that's where the feud comes in. But Mississippi State is, you know, they've had some good games this year. I mean, they're coming off of the 7-point loss in overtime to Tennessee. Beat Arizona State earlier in the year. We called that upset. 14 points is a lot here. I'm worried because this is the first real game for Mississippi State on the road. So with that being said, I'm going A&M here minus 14. I just don't trust Mississippi State in their first big game on the road. A&M has looked good, has a favorable schedule going forward now that they've gotten past Notre Dame. They got Florida coming up, who, like we mentioned, could have a replacement coach by the time they meet up. A&M's rolling right now. This is a spot where I think Elko gets that defense fired up going. I like Texas A&M minus 14 to take care of business against Mississippi State.
It's a lot of points, but I do agree with Aaron on this one. And I think Aaron's point about this being really the first road test for Mississippi State, you know, at home, tough game against Tennessee, who's a pretty good team last week, you know, lose by 7, but they, you know, they did have the advantage at home, were able to get some points up and down. And that the Arizona State game that they had at home earlier in the year, super close game. I think this Texas A&M team is obviously the best opponent that Mississippi State has played so far. And I think, you know, it's a tough place to play at Texas A&M. And I think that comes into a little more, you know, turning the ball over, a couple things happen like that. It turns it into more than a two possession game. And I take Texas A&M. Well, I agree with Aaron on this.
And it's a night game too. So that makes it even a little more difficult too at A&M. 110,000 screaming fans. I think Mississippi State is going to be in over the head in this game. Like I said, I like A&M.
All right. Got any bonus coverage for us, or you want to give us our your locks of the week?
Ooh, locks of the week. Yeah. Wow. Man. So I'll put Cincinnati in there against Iowa State.
Okay.
Give me Florida State as a lock, 4.5 against Miami. I'm going to take the Florida Gators as well, plus 7.
Wow.
I'm going to back Billy Napier. Let's see if he lets me down. If he does, then he can hit the hay, get out of town. I'll back him here. That's my 3 games. Okay. I really like A&M minus 14 too.
I'm not so much on that A&M pick, but all right. So you got Cincinnati minus 1.5, Florida plus 7, and Florida State plus 4.5 against Miami.
Yeah.
You got Florida State winning that, or you got Miami still winning that in a close one? You gave me the score of 28-27, but
I think Miami wins by a point.
All right, got it. Awesome. Any bonus games?
Bonus games for you, Rome. You mentioned you might be going to Duke versus Cal.
Yeah.
Cal's getting 3 points here. Cal's going to win outright. They're going to win this game. I mean, I've been high on Cal all year, and as soon as I really, really got high on them, they laid, what, that 34-0 egg against, I can't even remember.
Yes, you know, it sucks because I had your undefeated like little clip for Cal, or like that one or two loss, and I was gonna post it, and then
they leave that. San Diego State against San Diego State. Oh my god, I can't believe that, dude.
And I was like, all right, maybe I'll probably still post it, but maybe after another win or two, because it's still good. It's still good.
I can't believe. I mean, that was as bad as the, you know, talking about the Falcons losing to Carolina in the NFL 30-0. I couldn't believe Cal got beat 34-0 in that game. Yeah. Bounce back last week and beat Boston College. They'll beat Duke at home, plus +3.
All right. So you got Cal -3?
+3.
+3.
They're gonna win that game outright against Duke.
Nice. That's a Saturday night. Just for shits and giggles, how much does Penn State beat UCLA this weekend?
At least by 30.
All right.
What do you think, Jason? I mean, it's 25.5 the spread, right? 24.5.
Yeah, I think they're trying to prove a point. We came up to that loss. Yeah, I think Penn State covers that.
I backed UCLA last week, Rome. I can't do it again.
Aaron, I want you to know about a bonus terrible game to look at of two legendary coaches at 9 a.m. 1-3 Clemson versus 2-2 North Carolina.
Oh, that's actually kind of good.
I'm I don't know. You know,
Who do you like in that side?
I'm going to be honest. Like, I think the spread's at like 14.5 right now for Clemson. That seems way too high for the Clemson team that I've seen play so far. Even with how bad the Belichick defense has been in two different games that they lost this year. I think it was underreported that that Chapel Bill got two wins out of during those couple of weeks against some like a bad Richmond team or something else after that. But I don't know, man. It feels like old Bill can cover the spread here in this one.
You know, I'm going to take Rome's line here. That's a stay away from me. I'm not even touching that one. You know, these are just two bad football teams. It definitely doesn't make the watch list, but. I mean, yeah, Clemson, they've kind of fallen apart here. But, Rome, you're looking for another game here to keep an eye on. I was going to add it to the games to watch. It looks like it kicks off. It's a 9 a.m. game. Baylor at home against Kansas State. Kansas State got off to a terrible start after losing in Ireland. It seems like everybody that goes to Ireland and loses has a terrible season. Went into a bye week, rebounded last week against Central Florida. Your boy, Scott Frost over there. So I'd like Kansas State to cover the 6.5 against Baylor and win outright at Baylor. That's a bonus game for people.
Okay.
If they're looking for us. So two bonus games, two dogs, Cal +3, Kansas State +6.5. I like both dogs to win outright as well. And I would lean towards Jason taking North Carolina +14 if I had it there. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just throwing it out there. It just seemed like
North
a compelling.
So damn terrible, though.
It just seemed like a compelling bad football game at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. You flip the TV on, and we're going to be talking about these head coaches who just got programs that
are
going nowhere.
What game do we have good that's kicking off at 9 a.m.? Oh, Cincinnati, Iowa State. So that's the one I'll be watching since it's on the list.
I'm just looking at all the games now. I'm seeing what Wisconsin visits Michigan and. Trying to see who Nebraska faces, Michigan State. It's a weird weekend.
A little tough to compete with last weekend when you talk about the caliber of, you know, big time top 25 matchups that were at last weekend. So a little bit of a letdown, I think, this weekend versus last week.
Yeah.
I think as far as marquee teams, yeah, but I think we have some good games here like we talked about. I mean, Florida, Texas, I don't know how good it's going to be. It's compelling. I think Florida State and Miami is going to be really good. And you guys both think, and I think it's going to be a good game. Vanderbilt, Alabama is going to be a really intriguing game. Vanderbilt, 5-0 going in this game?
Yeah, I just don't know how good Alabama's defense is. I haven't watched the games that closely.
They just had a defensive player get hurt, too. I think he's out for the year.
Because Pavia and his wide receivers, they're just clicking on all cylinders right now. They just got a good flow. This is going to be like the last hurrah with this current group. Before they see some turnover, so
yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see how they do on the road here at Alabama. I mean, I know they won at South Carolina. That quarterback, like I said, Sellers got knocked out early in that game of a concussion. Alabama. I mean, Alabama's got a lot to prove. I mean, it's not every year of ever has Alabama ever had to get up for Vanderbilt, but they got to now. I mean, if they lose back-to-back games against Vanderbilt, I don't care what they did against Georgia, all that mojo is gone.
I'm taking the take Vandy with the points for this week, though.
I'm taking Alabama, but I'm going to low-key. I want Vanderbilt to win outright, so I would gladly take a loss there.
You definitely do bets like that all the time. It just blows my mind.
Just wishing ill will upon Kalen DeBoer and the poor people that are to come after him. And
I liked Kalen DeBoer, man, but just Alabama's just not a good fit for him. But he can coach. He's a good coach.
No, yeah. It's just not a good fit. Yeah. All right.
Well, I'll say this. You know, you guys dismissed Lane Kiffin there, but Kalen DeBoer to Penn State makes a ton of sense because, I mean, he can win big games, unlike James Franklin. So, hey.
He feels like a better Penn State guy. Yeah.
He does.
Any last comments? Beautiful. All right. We recapped college football week 5 and got Aaron's college football games of the week. We are going to post this out on the socials. We haven't done your record on the socials, but we've been kind of like talking about in the descriptions, but we'll get those games of the week. I'm trying to figure out how to like to line it up so we can get like the your bets on the same page. So I haven't found like a
so the record, like, Roman, if you want to write it down, updated record for games of the week plus bonus, whatever you want to call it, 35 wins, 26 losses, 2 pushes.
Nice. You're counting your bonus coverage?
Well, we release it. It's on the audio, man.
Nice.
We don't hide from what's on the audio here.
All right, cool. Well, also congrats on you taking first place in the Against the Spread contest. You're now the leader, the season leader, and you tied Jason's best week mark with his week 1.
We're talking NFL record. Though, right? NFL?
Yeah, NFL, yeah. So,
you know.
We had Sniper West up against it, man. He came in, I think he only won 6 games. He only had a 6 winner.
6-9. He joined the club.
Yeah.
Everyone's had a 6-9 group.
It's tough when you make him choose every game, you know. You could be picky
choosy. He was 4 out of 6 on his over-under side picks, I think.
Yeah, I think the prop stuff I think was very good where he was at.
It was 5 out of 7 actually. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay. It was good.
Pretty good stuff. His misses were like pretty big misses.
Roman, you know, we'll get into the NFL coverage tomorrow, but I mean, I started out 0-4. I don't know what you guys were, but I was like, damn, man, I'm about to, you know, crap the bed again. And then I pulled the Jason. The afternoon games showed up and delivered for me.
You were hot. Yeah, you were 0-4. Rome was the early leader. He was 2-2 in those first ones. I had
2-2 and 6-3 in the morning games. I was doing pretty well.
Yeah, but Rome did the reverse of you and just the afternoon went there. I never took off the ground. Yeah, you took all my momentum in the afternoon and I kind of just languished below 500 for most of the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, after the first 3 weeks, you know, we talked about getting into the film room, studying and prepping and being ready for week 4. I thought we did a pretty decent job week 4.
The Ravens loss. Okay, cool. I'm willing to take that. Packers, divisional game. I'm okay with that. I did not feel good about the Jets, though. Like, the closer we got to that game and then once we got up to the Bengals Broncos, I didn't want to pick that one anymore. I wish I had the Broncos on that one.
Well, you guys were dogging Bo Nix. I made the call. Told him.
I wish I started him. He had a great game.
I started him.
What 328 passing?
Yeah, oh, dude, he had like 20 something points in fantasy. I still beat Eli. He was trying to get Janty out of me, and I would have got my ass kicked out. I would have gave it to him. So.
Did you make that other deal swap we talked about, or did he not bite on it?
So I tried proposing like a 3-for-1 trade. I tried asking for the 2 wide receivers and Judkins, but I guess I have to like drop some players from my roster to.
Yeah, Rome. That's you just can't stock guys on your roster, and you know.
Follow us on Facebook, like and subscribe on YouTube, and please share, give us a review. We are looking for more reviews on. Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm kind of working on putting out a contest where you can sign up, and when you like us, follow us, repost a post, you get points. We're going to try to come up with a prize for the end of the year, a monetary prize, and something exciting. So working behind the scenes on that, but we will catch you next time. This is Source from the Sofa. We are out.